Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
Well, it's 13 minutes after 9. It's a Wednesday. That means Ntabiseng Dubazana is here for all your legal questions. Good evening, Ntabiseng, and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Always lovely having you. So let's just straight up tell everybody where to find us. 086-00-00959 and voice notes on 063-688-0959. Always interesting, even in the legal fraternity, not just in politics.
Yeah.
What do you have for us today?
So today I found it very interesting that churches go through labor matters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We usually find that churches are non-profit organizations, and when you go there, you're going to serve the Lord. And most of the time, you're not there to come and get anything from the situation. But no, in this particular case, there was a mom pastor.
Yeah.
Yabo? Mom pastor was working for it's the Seventh-day Adventist Church, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been a pastor there, and then she was put in one area. And in that particular area, the congregation was not feeling her, mainly because she's a woman.
Okay.
They would not accept her because she's a woman. How dare she come and give them any sort of preaching or biblical advice or anything of the sort. So what she did is that she then went to her line manager, like we always say, that if there's a problem, you need to tell your line manager, which is the senior pastors in that area and who she would report to, and say, this is the situation. Please do something. Either speak to the congregation or give me the tool that will help me to deal with this situation. They ignored her. Instead of dealing with that, they moved her from there to Grebeha, from Grebeha to Grahamstown, from Grahamstown. Like, she moved about a lot every time she would lodge a complaint. It got so bad that she ended up going to the match court to get an interdict from her employer to say, my employer must stop moving me. That's the first thing. Second thing, my employer should actually address my grievances, that every single time I raise an issue, they want to move me.
So this is interesting. So in the church, it would be an employer.
Yes, in this particular
church.
Isn't
this interesting?
Yeah. So
so the priest, whatever, it would still be an employer. I suppose even in Anglican churches and other traditional churches, it still would be an employer.
If you're deriving an actual salary, other people are getting other churches. It's like you even have housing.
Yes.
You know, so everything is done for you. You give it like a stipend or something. So it's a salary per se. In this particular instance, it was a proper salary. I think she was earning a net amount of 21,000 and some change. So it was a proper salary. So yeah, she now goes to the match court and she gets this interdict, and then the employer looks like they may adhere to the interdict and actually start dealing with what the parishes or the congregation is saying. And then now it comes to issues of promotion, going from one level to another within the church. Now male pastors who are way younger than her were now becoming her bosses, and she's watching them as they climb the ladder. And then she now raises the question, and then what is happening? Not only are the congregation back to abusing me, they would hurl insults. Where does a woman have a right in the Bible to give out any talk on the word of God? Where have you seen in the Bible that women can do this? That was the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side of the employer, they're not doing anything about the congregation. In fact, they are siding with the congregation. And they're saying, yes, we understand, but you know, South Africa is now free. We have to try and make something of it. Take what you can, and you know. So not really helping the situation. She got into depression. It became so bad that she had to be booked off by her psychiatrist to say, you can't continue like this. Either you resign oh, you know, it's not going to work. You can't go back to work. She was on medical boarding, I think, for about 8 months. She couldn't go back to work because every time she would go back, she would just regress in terms of her mental stability. Her children, her marriage, everything was just going downhill. And then eventually she's like, okay, you guys are not doing anything. I have tried everything in my power with emails and if all of that to say, please help me as my employer. And you're not doing anything. As a result, I am now resigning. And as soon as she resigned, she then went to the CCMA and she applied for constructive dismissal. So constructive dismissal, you as the employee, mm-hmm. the onus is on you to show that the workplace was so unbearable that you could not continue with work, right? So for her, lucky enough, there was a court interdict, there was email,
and also
there was the doctor's report. Mm. So the doctor was more than willing to give that report and all of that. And the employer, in its replication to the papers, was saying, but you're the author of your own
resignation.
Yeah. Oh. You're the one who put yourself in this mess in the first place. What were you doing being a pastor in the first place? How? Bato. And then, of course, the order was granted in her favor. And then the church took it on review to the labor court to say, no. Why? She's in this position because she put herself
knowing
in this position.
Knowing society is not ready.
Yes. So why is she complaining, you know? And the court was scathing at the church to say, how dare you? In a society such as ourselves, the one that we live in South Africa, how dare you? And you are supposed to be protecting the vulnerable as a church in itself. That is your mandate. That is your job. But with one of your own who is also vulnerable, this is what you do. And then the court took it a step further. Usually, you know, in labor matters, I always say they never do anything with costs. Mm-hmm. The labor court gave Mom Pastor 12 months. And then the costs for everything from CCMA up until labor court to be paid by the church. Mm-hmm. So whatever fees she had been paying to the attorneys were now going to be paid by the church.
So let's just break down what this would mean then.
Yeah.
If she had been, I get what she was medically boarded.
Yes.
Is this before the resignation?
Way before the 3 years before the resignation.
So she then went back to work.
She then went back to work, and then they moved her from the place that was more toxic than the others, I suppose. And then in this last one, it looked like things were getting better. Hence, we said that it looked like they were trying to adhere to the court order. But then when the troubles and the murmurs started again, they continued with their nonchalant situation.
And the reason I'm asking about the boarding, the medical boarding, is what would have been better for her?
Mm.
Because she comes out with 12 months salary.
Yeah.
That's like
a drop in the ocean. Yeah.
Whether the medical boarding was better, I don't even know.
Not likely, because with the medical boarding, it's like they're weaning you off of the salary.
And you are going to be getting less and less.
Less and less and less and less.
Maybe so, end up with a third or something like that.
Yeah. And Leona, it doesn't go on forever. It has to stop at a certain stage, right? And the medical boarding is a whole process wherein the employer even has to see if they can't put you in another space that is not going to be dealing with you or be adverse to your medical situation. She has proven time and time again that they are not willing to address her medical situation, which is her mental health, but because they just keep rotating her in basically the same areas there in the Western Cape, but they are not dealing with the core issue, which is the congregation. They are not stepping up as leaders to say, this is one of our own. You treat her like this, you know it's a problem, you know? So either way, even if they were going to put her in Johannesburg, clearly the intention was never to protect her as their employee. Yeah.
So she comes out with even, you know, 12 months is nothing.
It's nothing. But what she has done is she set a very, very lovely precedent by taking this on all the way to the labor court. Mm. And also for women, I didn't even know up until I read this case that there was an issue with women being pastors, that they are treated differently. I mean, we see them so many times everywhere. Obviously. So you don't think that there's a real issue. So now if some were actually scared to speak up or whatever, there's now actual case law that says you can go and take your church on, especially if the contract between yourself and the church is that of employer-employee.
Well, I also assume that, I don't know, I would have been afraid, because you also assume that, you know, religion is it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
It's whatever it is that that particular parish or congregation's beliefs are, you cannot challenge them in the court, because that's what you've bought into, you know, or you've all bought into this thing, and so you will abide by whatever it is that all of you have decided is the way you guys see things. So this is a very interesting case. Okay, so then you have this other case. Sexual harassment case.
Yes. Last week we spoke about the young man, remember, that was abusing his senior.
Yeah.
Or at least attempted to rape his senior.
Yeah.
But I think we dealt with it. We dealt with both of them, if I'm not mistaken. Because the other one was with a woman who had a child.
We never dealt with this. Remember?
We didn't.
We didn't, because we never got to any of our cases.
Oh, yes. No. See, my mind, I'm still so tired. I was telling Tando that
we never got through any of our cases.
All right.
This is when you can call in, by the way, with your own issue and your own legal matter that you need in Tabisane to assist on. 086-000-0959. WhatsApp note is 063-688-0959.
All right. So in this particular case, Mudibedi and Tabisane are working together, and Mudibedi, Ntabiseng eventually says to Mudibedi, listen, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, these are colleagues.
These are colleagues and whatnot. And then Mudibedi is like, okay, all right, no problem. But may I request that at a later stage that we have a DNA test?
Yeah.
And Ntabiseng is thumbs up, not a problem. As time goes on, it is discovered that Ntabiseng, not only was she having a relationship with Mudibedi, she was having a relationship with Sabelo in another department, but in the same business, and she was having another relationship with somebody else. So there were two other guys.
Can I just ask quickly before we... So this relationship with the man who she had pointed to being the father of this child started at the workplace?
Correct.
Okay, so it was not an old relationship.
No, no.
All of these are happening at the same time.
Yes.
In the workplace. Okay.
Yes. So now that Mdibedi has caught wind of this, like, Neman, how sure are you?
Reform.
That this child is mine, you know? Stands her ground, no, child is yours. So eventually child is born, and then DNA results come out, and Mudibedi is not the father of the child. The workplace now gets involved.
I was going to ask, Khori, when things are happening in this office, what do you call them? The code of conduct.
What are they saying? Yeah. So the code of conduct obviously says that colleagues don't mix and whatnot. But if you are going to end up being in a relationship, you need to report to HR. Mm. So that HR can have an executive decision to say, okay, we're not going to tell you to break up, but you're not going to do it here. So Emong will be put in there, Emong will be put over there, so that you guys don't meet. It's fine. But now, remember, now they're catching it at the tail end now. There's now a kid, and now this kid is not Mudibedi's. And now the situation is, why did you lie, Ntabiseng? Why did you lie? And then a disciplinary inquiry was then held, and she was dismissed. Not Mudibedi.
No, kya uta. You know, I guess Mudibedi is thinking, yeah, then.
Yeah.
No. I have no problems at all with that, because Elena. And so she was dismissed.
And then she
And just maybe formality, what were the grounds of the dismissal?
It was sexual harassment in the workplace and gross misconduct in that you lied.
Okay. I get the lie.
Yeah. And then I forgot what the third charge was, but those are the two that stood out for me. The sexual harassment and the fact that you lied.
I don't know about sexual harassment.
That's the main reason that she took it to the CCMA.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Eh? Sexual harassment. I don't know. So against all four of them?
No, against Mudibit.
The one who happened not to have the...
Yeah, so we don't know who the father of the child ends up being
still,
with the others.
In the end.
Because at the end of the day... The
case is about Mudibit.
Uh-huh. So now in the CCMA says, the dismissal was procedurally fair, but it was substantively unfair.
Yeah.
Right? So which means the reasons
the
for
content
the dismissal...
They were not fair.
Yeah.
And sexual harassment, I don't... Lina Agi.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And gross misconduct. Where do you get in your code of conduct that what she did is a gross misconduct? Because if she is... It's lying to the company. It has to do with what the company does. So, for example, you have...
The relationship is...
Mara, how do they affect the workplace? I'm just asking.
We cannot allow debauchery in the workplace.
That was their argument.
No. It's a bad precedent. We cannot allow people to be busy leading affairs 100 more. No, cannot be. No.
But is my work not done?
Mm-mm.
But is my work not done? Am I not dealing with my KPIs? My deliverables? That's what I signed for. Got the code
you
of
know,
conduct.
The work culture is also important in a business.
Yeah.
You are creating a problem.
True. Mm. But remember, in terms of...
I would have also given all of them, by the way, a warning. I wouldn't have dismissed it.
Yeah, it would have been easier
I would have dealt with a lot of them.
Yes.
Because also Mudibedi, how did Mudibedi know that Nabali fall?
Mm.
Because they were all busy doing the same thing.
Mudibedi only found out because now there's a baby attached to him.
I think, yes, the lying thing, I think, for me, is absolutely incorrect. That would be the only charge. But the misconduct, Yona, no, I agree with it. No, you cannot in the workplace be allowing people to be busy more. Because, you know, the thing is, not all people are rational.
Very true.
And when this chaos here, Reshebile, gets out of hand, then what?
Mm.
Or, better yet, by the way, remember, some of them may have other external relationships.
Yes.
It's messy. Mara would have given all of them a warning,
which is what the commissioner was arguing to say. Dismissal doesn't make sense.
No, all of them.
Yeah, reinstate this person and then give her back pay.
All of them must be given a warning or something.
Yeah. And then obviously the employer took it to the labor court for review. The labor court stood with the commissioner to say, no. Per your own code of conduct, this kind of thing is not dealt with. It's not a known rule.
Oh, I see.
It's not anything.
So it's not even in. Okay.
It's not even office culture, like you were saying.
I get it.
So code of good practice, Schedule 8, it has to be a rule that is known by everybody or at minimum practiced.
Yeah, Mara.
So this is something new that the company didn't have. So they didn't have a lecture stand on.
You saying they never had a problem before?
Yeah.
Yamotoso.
Hey. So they couldn't deal with it.
The code of conduct was not there because they had never had this problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Voice note your point of view on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Kaya.
959.
On the street. On the air.
Hi, Pimelo and your guest there. Please, can you ask your guest to explain to me, as she was speaking about medical boarding, what is the recourse of medical boarding? I heard her saying that you get lesser and lesser. Just briefly, please explain to me what is the percentage of payment if we are medically bored.
Okay.
All right. So medical boarding is, like I said, it's a process. So the first thing that the employer has to do is let's figure out what is exactly wrong with you, right? So there'll be about two or three different doctor's reports that will explain what is wrong with the employee. And if the situation is brought on as a result of the workplace directly, now the employer has to explore, is there another avenue or a place that I can put you at that is not going to influence you in any manner and that is not going to force us to reduce your salary? So they need to look within to see, Horena, is there anything that they can do?
So if, let's say, unali asthma.
Yeah.
And the issue is that we are a factory,
yes,
maybe, and maybe we are manufacturing products that affect your asthma. Then you may be requested to work from home, for instance.
Mm.
But maybe if you are an administrator, you can still do your functions at home.
Correct.
That doesn't require you to move away.
Yes.
But if you are the welder, and that's all you are here to do, and you have this chest problem, we may have to board you.
Yes. And then the process would then be okay now that we...
Just quickly. What does the law say around retraining somebody? So if you were the welder, but you do have the capacity to do something else.
Yes.
I didn't come here to be something else, but now my health doesn't allow me to continue and I need something else.
Yes. So the laws, in terms of the LRA, the last option is the dismissal.
Okay.
So we have to explore every other alternative apart from dismissal.
Am I trainable?
Correct. Mm. So those are the things that now we look at. If we can't continue that we hired you for because of welding, the welding is the one that's giving you the asthma, then what else can you do that is not going to be in this particular field? What do you have in your qualifications? Did you at least have a year or 6 month training in admin, for argument's sake? And if the answer is yes, then we polish up your skills there.
Is it improper to offer me something lesser because I cannot carry out my duties anymore? So if the person says I'm at level X, but we can train you for something for a lesser level, or at least onboard you for something at a lesser level, are there grounds for you to contest that?
There are grounds for you to contest it, but it's part of the process.
Mm.
Remember, the last thing we're trying to do is leave you without a job. So,
but if you say, no, I can do something else in this firm, and I can be teachable. I can be taught how to, I don't know, could go to the legal department or the accounting department, whatever, even though that's not what you came here to do.
Yeah.
Can you insist that give me a chance?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes, you can insist on it. But remember, it also depends on the place that you want to go.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go to the accounting or the legal department, is there a room?
Mm.
And do you at least have a qualification for that? Because if now we have to take you to school, then we can't take you there. We can make you maybe an admin clerk in the legal department, but not for you to do the legal stuff.
Then
we can't take you to school.
Why not?
It's not part of the medical body because it's going to be an expense to the company.
Wait, Ntabise. Does it have to be medical boarding for you to be transferred in that way? In other words, can I say, yes, I have an illness?
Yeah.
And my working conditions affect my health in this way.
Yeah.
Can we argue that it does not have to be the process of medical boarding, but just a restructuring process? Can we argue that?
Yes. Remember, when we have these three reports, before we start the process of the actual medical boarding, we are first trying to see if we can place you anywhere else. It doesn't involve the actual inception of medical boarding. It's first, okay, Unanabotata, where can we put you where this won't affect you?
Wait, let's take Ntate Selby, because I think he's been waiting for a while, and then we'll come back here. Ntate Selby, good evening.
Good evening, Pamela and Tavisen.
How
are you? I'm blessed, be amazed.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah. And, well, Tavisen, I could see Simona. Did the woman lie to the company or to her boyfriend?
She lied to the boyfriend.
But also, when the pregnancy was not showing, she also reported to HR that the father of her child, Gimudibedi. So that is part and parcel of the charge area misconduct. Not only did you mislead Mudibedi, you also misled us to think Mudibedi as one of us is the father of the child.
Okay.
No,
Thank you, Ndata Selby. It's such a very important point he's making, because if who complained about this DNA?
It's from what I read, Mudibedi is the one that said, I have a question mark, after HR was told.
So the person who went to HR first,
to say, no, I'm pregnant, I'm going to prepare for maternity leave, Mudibedi is the father of my child.
Yeah, you see, that's where she messed it up.
Yeah.
She didn't have to tell them.
No. No.
Okay.
Hi, Pamela and Tabby. Kindly assist me. I'd like to find out, please, what is the process when you want to get your child back? In a sense of, the child is with her mother. Per the law, that it says the mother is the first number one parent to look after the child. And then if the child's mother decides to give some people the child to raise, whom are not family or relatives, whilst I gave her the option of me staying with the child, because the child is used to coming this side, meaning on holidays or some days she used to come here. However, she stated that she will not give her child to me because my aunt doesn't want her. And I did say, yes, my aunt doesn't want you, based on your history and the things that you did, and currently the things that you are doing regarding the child. So currently, as far as I know, she's not staying with the child. The child is staying with someone else. And I'm not sure where she stays, whether with the boyfriend, because she says she stays at a friend's place. They don't want the child there. It's just a lot. But kindly assist where possible, please. Steps to follow as per the law. Thanks.
But you have come to the right place, and Tabi Seng is an expert when it comes to these things. I'm sorry, man.
It's just unfortunate that you have to start at the match court, ne? So what you do, you're going to go to the match court in the area in which the child resides. So you're going to do a TPN search. Usually attorneys are easier to assist you with that aspect, to find her latest address, unless she's willing to give you her current address where they stay. But from what you just said, it doesn't sound like she's willing. So you get an attorney who will do a TPN search, find out where she is, and then you go to the match court in the area where the child resides, because that's the court that has jurisdiction. And then when you get there, you go to the children's court. The children's court.
Just hang on. In the area where the child resides, he doesn't know.
That's what I'm saying. He must find an attorney who will do a TPN search for him, who can find where the mother resides. If he can find where the mother resides, then he'll likely be able to institute action in that particular area.
So where the mother resides or where the child resides?
The only person he can trace is the mother. The child will really not be on the system. So if he finds where the mother lives, let's say for argument's sake, she lives in Alex, which means that the nearest court will be
Alex.
Yeah. So then he will go to the Alexander Magistrates Court, wherein he fills in the Form 2. The Form 2 is wherein you make your application for access / primary care for your minor child, because there is no reason in law that your child should be living with anybody apart from the parents, especially when one is willing to be the primary caregiver. So that's the first thing. And then once you've started,
Before we go, sorry, I'm going to keep interrupting. Did she need to go to the court and ask the court to review her status as the primary caregiver?
That's the downside. The mothers don't have to do that.
Okay. So she can just do what she wants to do.
That's what they do. And especially if the child was conceived out of wedlock. So you now become a Section 19 and a Section 20 dad. So you need to basically make an application to have access to your own child. Unlike a Section 21 dad. A Section 21 dad is one who had the child within the bounds of marriage. They have the same exact rights with mom. When you had child out of wedlock, it's a whole process, unfortunately.
So let's just maybe unpack the two. If the child was born out of wedlock,
yeah,
she didn't have to inform him
about, Hore,
I'm not going to live with the child. She can just decide for the child.
Yes. The Children's Act hasn't been changed to accommodate this yet, but in case law, it's been said time and time again that even if the parents are not married, they share the same rights and responsibilities when it comes to the children. But the Children's Act hasn't changed to say that in terms of Section 20 of the Children's Act, if a child is born out of wedlock, it says that the father doesn't automatically have the same rights as the mother. That's what it says. So I don't know. I think it's yet to be changed per what one of these many cases that have been decided, so that it can be actually written down. But until then, dads who are Section 20 dads, they have to make an application through the court to have access to their child and for their rights and responsibilities to be enforced upon the minor child.
Okay, if you are a married father,
yeah,
and you guys have now decided that she will be the primary caregiver.
Yes.
Did she then have to apply?
Yes.
To move the child?
Yes. In fact, she has to start first to talk to him and say, listen, this is the situation. I need to move. This is what's happening. And then if he says no and all of that, then the next best thing is that baby has to be then given to him. And then they can make a variation of the court order to say she is no longer the primary caregiver, he is. And then, yeah, it goes
from the look of things, she doesn't want him to be the primary caregiver.
Because of an aunt. So the aunt is far removed. It has nothing to do with the dad. So the fact that the aunt doesn't like her as an individual has nothing to do...
The court will not care.
The court will not care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Malvern. It's Thokozani. Hello, Thokozani.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Good thing, the guy. Thank you for calling.
No, I'm good. Thank you. A quick one. So I'm calling on behalf of someone, lady.
Mm-hmm.
She's asked me to call. Like, nothing has ever been done. Body withholds finances. They're not together, by the way. So body withholds finances whenever it's ever with her for the child, and like. So whenever he feels like it, he doesn't pay school fees. Whenever he feels like it, he doesn't pay for transport, for his school. So he'd like to know, like, to get things started for child support and whatnot, what does she do?
She doesn't have a maintenance order.
No, there's nothing.
Okay.
Were they married?
No.
Okay,
they're very, very young people. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they were lovey-dovey, child came. And then,
All right.
Yeah. So she'd like to know, like,
Can I just quickly ask if the boy is working?
Oh yes, he's working. Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is how it works. She's going to go to the maintenance office in the court that she lives in the area that she lives in, ne? And then they're going to give her the maintenance form. So. Here is how a maintenance form will be filled in, because most of the time the clerks don't give you the breakdown. They just say, go and fill this in. And when you come back filling it in, but you did not fill it in correctly. So does she live at home with her parents or siblings or anything of the sort?
Oh, he's gone.
Okay. No, it's fine. So if the lady stays at home with parents, let's say both of them, and maybe a sibling, and herself and the child. When we are now calculating the expenses, Zangwana, we're going to divide what the household spends towards rent or bond.
Let's
he's back.
Tokozani? We lost you there, Tokozani.
Oh, okay. So we were just
wondering, who does she live with?
She lives at home. Depends on.
And there are other people. Oh, depends on
the guy. Even though he's working, but he's still also living home still. These are typical motivators and
Tabi Singh.
So she lives in a house of how many people?
Plenty. In a typical township family home. So there's Ukoko, there's Malume and
other cousins. Would they have to divide by all those people?
By all those people. Okay. So the way it's calculated in that maintenance form, they're going to ask her now how many people live in the house, and then she will name them all. And then what's going to happen is that they're going to ask her how much, the form is going to ask her how much is rent or bond or whatever, how much is electricity per month, how much is water, how much is grocery, etc., etc. All of those things, when we, Wi-Fi, DSTV, name them, we put everything there, in that form. And then the exact amount that it costs the household to spend this. If it's 5,000 rand for electricity, for argument's sake, per month, you divide that 5,000 by the number of people, including the child, who are in that house. Mm-hmm. So if by five in the house, it's going to be 5,000 divided by five, which means that 1,000 rand is what the child would contribute if that child was working. Right, so we're going to you will see there will be different columns that child share and household share, and then after everything is said and done, we're only going to look at the column that only pertains to what would be the child's share if the child would have been working, and that's the amount that would be due for maintenance. So even if she were to think that she's claiming 15,000, but the child's share ends up about 3,000 rand, she's likely to only get that 3,000 rand or less, depending on what he is going to bring in terms of his 6 months bank statement to show what his obligations are. But it will be something at least that comes from the court directly that he must pay X amount. Whether I get 1,000 rand, whether I get 2,000 rand, it doesn't matter. And then if he fails to pay, even for 1 month, she doesn't even have to go to him and ask him, remember there's a court order, none. She just goes straight to the match court and says he failed to pay. And then they go to his employer and then they do a garnishy, and then it comes straight from his salary and then goes straight to her.
Okay. Let's hope she listens, because I've been trying to.
You know what, Tokozan, does she want to do it? Because that's another thing. Today, one must sweet talk.
There is no sweet talk. It's just a matter of, if I'm in the middle of the phone now, there's a woman in the which I highly discourage, but
so reluctant to go through the process.
Yes, yes.
We am Saba.
Not really. It's like
reluctant.
From her perspective, is if she does if she goes the whole hook and does all these things, then it's almost as if she's still attached to him. And I'm like, no, that's not a two.
It's a child who's attached to him, not her.
Yes. This is my child. Thank you. I'll try and persuade
you. Sure, no problem. Thanks very much for that. All right, let's take a listen to a voice note.
Hello, Pimelo and Tabseng. I need you to get your opinion on my case. It's with the labor court. What actually happened, I was intimidated at work. I feared going. I contacted them immediately. I already had issues, which I was not being assisted by the manager and HR. So they waited 3 days to give me an extraction of returning to work. At that point, I didn't even know that the policy existed. So now their basis for dismissal is that I was absent for 3 days. But again, it was a direct, my absenteeism was a direct result of the issues I had at work. So I don't know what's your take with regard to such situations.
If it's at the labor court, I'm beginning to wonder what happened in the first place, because if you were not at work for 3 days, they ought to have issued you a notice for disciplinary inquiry for being AWOL in the first place. And it follows the same process. You need 48 days, blah, 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 blah. If you fail to not appear, they will still hold the inquiry without you, and then they will dismiss you. And then it goes to the CCMA. What did the CCMA say? Or did you not go to the CCMA at all? Did you go straight to the labor court? Are you now on review at the labor court? So without these answers, these questions being answered, I can't assist much. I don't know what to say.
Not enough information.
No.
If possible, may I please call in and then maybe we can clarify a few issues. Let's take a listen to another voice note.
Can I just ask something real quick? If kibata honka mwanaka, tishwagana le the mother, kibata honka mwana, and the mother refuses give me the child, or can I go to court and argue the fact that no, but the mother of the child has a dulali lengwana going from Yeno Usi Lengwana le Mama Hai Usets Adulago boyfriend. Would that be something that would hold in court to say no, we will give you the child as the father?
100%.
It's the same case.
Yeah, it's 100%. But you know what? Our match courts sometimes, it's always easier to go to the high court. But now the downside of the high court is that we don't have dates.
You're going to wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, go to the match court in the area where baby is, where Adula Deng Lima Gogo, and then make an application for primary care. He said because the mommy is now staying with the boyfriend.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Gordon, I think Gordon in Benoni, hi.
Yes, this is Gordon speaking. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you so much for calling.
Good. I'm actually asking a question to Tabi Singh concerning the case of a woman pastor.
Yes.
I just need to get access to that because I'm actually writing a paper on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not a problem. Yeah. We can send it to you via email if you want.
Please,
we have the full case.
Yeah, it's fine. Do I need to give you my email?
Well, I'll put you back on the line and then you can leave your email address. You said you're writing a paper, Gordon?
Yes, I'm actually writing a research on women in leadership.
Yeah.
Mm.
Specifically in African independent churches.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's actually my research paper, and I was sort of interested in that.
Mm.
So I just want to get that and sort of put it in my thesis.
Okay,
you will enjoy it.
No, that's good.
Really, I would love to have it.
All right,
really love to have it.
We'll put you back to Tando, and then you can leave her with your email address so that we can assist you with the actual document that you're looking for. Thanks so much, Gordon, for calling through. So the case that you were suggesting, the gentleman that sent a voice note earlier, your suggestion is that he can still go and say, well, I know where the daughter lives because Udulali, the grandmother.
Yes. So you go into the area where Gogo is, you go to the court there and say you want primary care.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we've lost a Siyabonga there who was trying to get through. But I also think Siyabonga is probably calling late. I think Siyabonga is calling late. Siyabonga, maybe let's try and see if we can't speak to you next week. What we can do, Siyabonga, is that we can take your number and then we can make sure that you'll be the first person that we speak to next week. And Tabi Seng, where do people find you?
People can send us an email on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. Alternatively, they can call us on 087-265-8010 or send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523. Our offices are on number 37 Harley Street, Ferndale, Randburg.
Thanks, Tabi Singh. We will be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.